All right, Alexander, let's talk about the arrest and trials of Andrei Yermak, the man behind the curtain, who was supposed to be on the front lines.
Yeah, absolutely.
Who's supposed to be on the front lines. I guess not on the front lines. And and actively involved in the Zelensky regime in governing.
Yeah.
Even though he has no position, I think it's now widely accepted that yes. Even though he resigned or was fired or whatever, because of his involvement in Mindich and Firepoint and the Golden Toilets and all of this stuff, he was still running things. He was still by Zelensky's side calling the shots.
Yes.
So now he is under investigation for money laundering, a very small amount to all of these guys, $10 million, yes. Just $10 million. Come on. That's nothing to these guys. Yeah. But he's on trial, 60 days in detention. He doesn't want to post bail of $4 million. I think we know why he doesn't want to post bail. That would look pretty bad if he did.
Yeah.
Anyway, what are your thoughts on everything that's happening with Yermak, who also consults with fortune tellers?
Yes,
Alexander, as well to make decisions. So really weird stuff in Kiev going down around the Zelensky regime.
Yes, I mean this is all very very ugly and very very clearly very corrupt. I mean the revelations over the last 2 or 3 weeks that have come out of Ukraine, out of Kiev. They've basically shown that Firepoint, which is, it turns out, basically what amounts to the entire Ukrainian military industrial complex. Now, I mean, it seems to be the company that basically makes anything that's being made in Ukraine. I mean, they make drones and they're supposed to make missiles. They don't make many missiles, but they do make lots of drones. And they make huge amounts of money from that, which is money sent to Ukraine mostly by Europe, which then gets invested in Firepoint. And it turns out the Firepoint is run by people who are close to Zelensky, Mindich in Israel, Umerov, the former defense minister, is clearly deeply involved. Yermak is there in the background in some form. Anyway, all of this is very unpleasant, very horrible, very ugly. It's nothing fundamentally new. It's not anything that people who follow our programs carefully wouldn't have known about Ukraine. So the big question for me is, why is this all being brought up again now? Remember, we had this scandal in the summer when it became a very, very big story. Yermak was forced to resign. Budanov eventually was appointed chief of staff in his place. And then it looked as if for a time Umerov was going to claim asylum in the United States. And then everything seemed to settle. So Budanov was sidelined. Yermak, even though he wasn't chief of staff, continued to run things. The people who were working in Zelensky's office continued to take calls from him. New people were appointed to the SBU, the internal security agency, who were loyal to Yermak and Zelensky. And the talk about this scandal subsided. And now suddenly it's burst back into life. And this is an interesting question. Now, there are constant power struggles taking place in Ukraine. There's the big narrative that you always hear about, that the front lines are now stable, that Ukraine is holding its own. We've discussed this in many places. We've said that this isn't true, but that is the narrative at the moment. I don't myself think it is the situation on the front lines that's creating the crisis. And it's important to understand that the key agencies that have pushed this corruption scandal now, Nauvoo and SAPO, basically are run by the West. They used to be run until USAID was basically broken up. They used to be run directly by the US embassy in Kiev. Now one hears that it's shared with the European Union. So why suddenly this scandal has repeated itself? Why are we, in fact, now having Yermak himself prosecuted, under arrest, put in detention, facing actual charges for money laundering? What is going on? Now, I'm going to suggest that this probably is related to events in the West. And I think there's two things behind it. Firstly, I think that the Americans are getting very frustrated that Zelensky is digging in his heels. He's not implementing Anchorage. He's not pulling out of Donbass and all of that. So I think that is always there. And I think that is true. But I think that there is something else as well. And that is that we had that meeting with Zelensky in Cyprus, Zelensky and the EU. And it became clear that the EU, at least the big players in the EU, who are now providing most of the funding to NABU, have decided that for the moment, there is absolutely no question of Ukraine joining the EU. The idea of accelerated membership for Ukraine in the EU is simply not on the agenda anymore. Merz is against it. Many countries are against it. The door has been slammed in Ukraine's face. Now, Zelensky has been very upset and angry about this. So I'm wondering whether the tensions between Zelensky and the Ukrainians on this issue, and the Europeans on this issue, might be what has suddenly provoked this decision to reopen this scandal. Because the other thing about this scandal is that it does cast doubt on the EU continuing to supply money to Ukraine. And the EU is already now saying that there have to be more checks, more controls done before funds from the 90 billion euro loan to Ukraine, more funds can be distributed and sent to Ukraine. So I wonder whether it is connected to all of that.
Hmm. Well, they're either trying to send a message to Zelensky, the US and or the European Union. They could also be trying to protect Zelensky. Maybe they're having to throw this time, really throw Yermak under the bus, not pretend arrest or a corruption of Yermak where they pretended and he was still sticking around. Maybe they see the corruption. Maybe they see the bad media and press that Zelensky is getting. Maybe they got freaked out, even though they don't want to talk about it, by Tucker Carlson in his interview of Yulia Mendel. Maybe they see all of this going on and they say, you know what? In order to keep Zelensky in place, we really need to prosecute. So we've got to arrest someone very close to him, and Yermak is a very easy target. I mean, maybe there's that as well. I don't know. I don't know which one it is.
No,
they're either sending a message to Zelensky, or they're trying to cover up and protect Zelensky. I mean, protecting Zelensky, covering up for Zelensky is also covering up for you. I mean,
well,
for them,
of course,
you know,
absolutely.
You're covering up your tracks as well, which is very important for them.
Absolutely. I would say that going after Yermak in this way does weaken Zelensky. I mean, Yermak has been an absolute key figure in Zelensky's entourage. And I don't just mean that, you know, there's a public relations problem for Zelensky in this. It's also, I mean, Yermak is the person who knows whom to call. He has all the contacts. He's the person who's acted as Zelensky's, contact with the other parts of the Ukrainian system. But you see, the point that you've just made, the two are not mutually exclusive. It could be that on the one hand, you are aware that there's been a plunge in Zelensky's reputation. You know that Yulia Mendel is going to give this interview to Tucker Carlson. You know all about this. So you need to throw somebody big under the bus. And so you, in order to protect Zelensky. And at the same time, you want to send a message to him and remind him who really pulls the strings in Kiev, and that he really does need to stop talking all the time about Ukraine joining the European Union, because this isn't something that people in Europe want to hear, and that the Europeans want to control the money flows in Kiev more tightly than they have been doing up to now. So the two are not mutually exclusive. But my overwhelming sense about this, and I've been thinking about this a lot, is that this crisis has an origin. Its origins are more in Europe than in Kiev or in the United States. NABU is now very close to the EU, more so, it seems to me, than it is to the Americans. And I don't think that there is a mood in Kiev amongst the political class at the present time to go directly after Zelensky himself. So that's my sense of this.
I've also been thinking about this quite a lot as well, Alexander, and just listening to you right now, where you're talking about Europe wanting to control the money flows.
Yeah.
How about a third scenario, which is that what this is really about? And then it could also be about sending a message to Zelensky and also throwing Yermak under the bus. It could be about these things as well. But at the end of the day, when it comes to Project Ukraine, the golden rule is that it's all about the money, and it's all about controlling the money flows.
Yeah.
What if the European Union and all of these globalists, these political elite globalists, and the MIC companies, which we know are getting record numbers of contracts for drone manufacturing, for missile manufacturing. I mean, I was reading that Rheinmetall has so many contracts. It can't even keep up. It doesn't know what to do. It's got so many contracts that have been given to it. It doesn't know how to implement all these contracts that they've got, right? Yeah. So what if this is really about removing Firepoint and the Ukraine part of all of this, you know, off the chessboard, out of the picture, getting rid of them and saying, look, you know, Firepoint is now ours.
Yeah.
The drone manufacturing is ours. Controlling the money flow is ours.
Yeah.
Buzz off Zelensky, buzz off Yermak, Mindich, Firepoint. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if in a year or two, Firepoint gets swallowed up by Rheinmetall or some European company, right? Because we're seeing all of the drone manufacturing. They talk about Ukraine manufacturing drones, but at the end of the day, they're all being manufactured in Europe.
Correct.
European facilities. I mean, Ukraine is just there as a placeholder, really, just so they can get access to the funds. That's it. I mean, maybe this really is all about just controlling the money. And here you have this Firepoint, like you said, which is making all these drones, and they're demanding money, and they want money for weapons, and they want money for manufacturing. Well, if you're the globalist in the EU, you're saying, wait a minute, why do I want to share any of this with you?
You know, and what supports your theory, by the way, is that Boris Pistorius has been on a very, very prominent visit to Kiev. Even as all of these events have been taking place in Kiev, the reignition of the corruption scandal. And of course, Germany is at the center of the whole drone manufacturing thing that we've been hearing so much about. And of course, as you rightly said, Rheinmetall is now the key company that seems to be at the core of this. So it could be that even as these investigations and these prosecutions are being brought, Pistorius is also there in Kiev to convey directly the message that from now on, firstly, you don't talk about the EU membership. Secondly, you leave Zelensky himself alone. And thirdly, no more messing around with Firepoint. It's Rheinmetall that is going to be where the action is. Speaking of what you just said, by the way, you're absolutely right. They got far more contracts than they can fulfill. In fact, they're not doing very much with anything. The money flows are pouring in, and no less a person than the genius Kaya Kallas has come forward and said, you know, it's very strange. All this money is being spent, but nothing is actually being produced by it. It was interesting to see her for once corroborating what we've been saying.
The light bulb kind of went on, but she couldn't quite put it together, though.
Right? Yeah.
No, she couldn't quite understand. Why do we have all this money going to these military companies, but you know, we're not getting anything done? She couldn't quite figure it out. Anything else that you want to say? I mean, it's always about controlling the money.
It is. I think you're right. I think. I mean, the more I think about it, I mean, the more you're right. Ultimately, this has always been first, foremost, and above all else, about money. This whole operation, even the original thing about Project Ukraine, and you know, breaking up Russia, creating a crisis there. Even that was about money. I mean, that was what Putin said in that press conference he gave about a week ago, which is all about ultimately coming in, making lots and lots of money inside Russia. This is what this is ultimately always about.
Yeah, unfortunately. Okay, we will end the video there. The Durant.locals.com. We're on X, we're on Rumble, we are on Telegram. We are also on Substack as well, so check us out on Substack. All those links are in the description box down below. And also go to Durant Shop, pick up some merch. We got a special on t-shirts, 30% off all t-shirts on the Durant Shop. Take care.